farm village. A few hundred families made up the entire population, the houses and farms clustered in hamlets, connected by footpaths and lanes. The unpaved main road ran for a couple of kilometers up and down the low alpine hills, covered with fields and pine forests. It was absolutely gorgeous. We saw very little of the British forces who were in charge. Just an occasional truck with soldiers would roll through. But to the east, Russians occupied that area, and we were very conscious of them. The Cold War had begun, and we all lived in fear that the Russian tanks would roll in, and we would be swallowed up into the Russian Empire. The priests in church would scare the congregation with horror stories of Russians shooting babies in the arms of their mothers. Our house was on top of a hill along the road, and as I was growing up, it was unusual to see more than one or two cars coming by our house a day. A ruined castle dating back to the feudal times was right across from us, 100 yards from our door. And on the next rise was the mayor's office and the Catholic church where my mother made us all go to Sunday Mass every week. And then there was a local Gasthaus or inn, which was the social heart of the village, and the primary school, which was attended by me and my brother Meinhard, who was 1 year older than me. My earliest memories are of my mother washing clothes and my father shoveling coal. I was no more than 3 years old, but the images of my father is especially sharp in my mind. He was a big, athletic guy. He was very strong, and he did a lot of things himself. Every autumn, we would get our winter supply of coal, where a truckload was dumped in front of our house, and on this occasion, he was letting Meinhard and me help him carry it into the cellar. And we were always so proud that we were his assistants. My father and my mom both originally came from working-class families further north, factory laborers, mostly in the steel industry. During the chaos at the end of World War II, they will meet in the city of Mürzzuschlag, where my mother Aurelia Jadrini was a clerk at the food distribution center at the city hall. She was in her early 20s and a war widow. Her husband had gotten killed just 8 months after their wedding, and my mother didn't even find out about his death until 6 months later. Working at her desk one morning, she noticed my father passing on the street. An older guy, in his late 30s, but tall and good-looking, and wearing the uniform of the Gendarmerie, the rural police. Now, she was crazy about men in uniform, and every day after that, she would watch for him. She figured out when his shift was so she would be sure to be on her desk. They were flirting and talking through the open window, and she would give him some food from whatever was at hand. Now, my father's name was Gustav Schwarzenegger. They got married late in 1945. He was 38 and she was 23. My father was assigned to Tal and put in charge of a four-man post responsible for the village and nearby countryside. Now, his salary barely enough to live on, but with the job came a place to live, the old Forester's Lodge, also known as the Forsthaus. The Forest Ranger, or Forstmeister, lived always on the ground level, and the inspector and his family always occupied the top. My boyhood home was a very simple stone and brick building, well proportioned, with thick walls and little windows to keep out the alpine winters. We had two bedrooms. Each was equipped with coal ovens for heat, and, of course, the kitchen, where we ate and where we did our homework and washed ourselves and played games, where we literally did everything. That kitchen was heated by my mother's stove. There was no plumbing, no shower, no flushing toilet, just a kind of chamber pot or a splashing toilet. The reason why we call it that is because every time you went to poo, a few seconds later you would hear a big splash at the bottom. The nearest well was almost a quarter mile away, and even when it was raining hard or